Well, good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our 11 o'clock service. This is, of course, a very special day as we celebrate the 61st Independence Day of our nation. We are very excited. I want you all to stand up with me for a few moments. I'd like to take this time just to pray over our nation and declare some scriptures over our nation. You know, the book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 11 says, "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted." I don't know if this has happened to you. You know, you are looking in your handphone or your computer and you see 11-11. Or you're in the train or in a bus, you see 11-11. When you see 11-11, it's a summons from the Holy Spirit to pray for your nation. Hallelujah. Every time you see 11-11, pray for Singapore. Hallelujah. Pray for a blessing over Singapore. When I see 22-22, it's time for me to pray for the key of the house of David. When I see 333, it's to call on the name of the Lord. When I see 444, I pray for revival. Hallelujah. When I see 555, lucky strike. Hallelujah. It's a summons to call a nation in which you do not know. Amen. It's a very apostolic prayer. Isaiah 55 and verse 5. But today we want to declare Proverbs 11:11 over this nation. Lord, we thank you as we stand here on the 61st birthday of this nation. Lord, I stand and I want to say that I love my country. I love Singapore, and I know that your heart towards Singapore is good. You love this nation, Lord, and Singapore is a son to you. Hallelujah. And I pray for the blessing, Lord, in the name of Jesus over our city of Singapore, Lord. The Bible says righteousness exalted the nation. And so we pray, oh God, that in this nation there will always be righteous laws, righteous leaders of our land, our prime minister, our president, Lord, and all those that are in authority. We pray, Lord, righteousness, hallelujah, over this nation of Singapore. We bless her this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a big praise. Amen. All right, you may be seated. You know, I want to begin by saying that it takes a citywide church to win a citywide war. I don't think it's possible for a single church to take down a principality in a city. The body of Christ must come together in unity under apostolic leadership. And that's how we dethrone a principality in the nation. But we must come together. We must work together. Something about unity that amplifies the power of God. One will put to flight 1,000, but two will put to flight 10,000. I want to speak to you today about the Lion of the East, discerning Singapore's prophetic destiny. And I want to declare to you that this is an Asian hour. The time has come for the church in Asia to arise. Come on. Amen. There was a time God used Europe. There was a season God used America. But I tell you, this is the time that God is going to use Asia. And if you keep looking at the West, you will never see the sunrise. Come on. Amen. And it takes a united church to heal a divided city. And I also want to declare that we are long overdue for revival. Did you know that the last great move of God in Singapore was in the early 70s, in the early mid-80s? It was called the Charismatic Renewal. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Charismatic Renewal. But that was the last great move of the Holy Spirit, and we are long overdue for revival. In 1978, the evangelist Billy Graham preached in Singapore over 5 days in a national stadium. Over 337,000 people came to hear Dr. Billy Graham preach. That's about 10% of our population. If you think about the population in those days, was about 3 million people. After the crusade, Christianity went up by 4 percentage points. It was a tipping point of our faith. He gave a word after the crusade that Singapore would become the Antioch of Asia. The word was decreed. The word was received by the elders of our nation. It was a defining moment for a very nascent nation. We were just 13 years into our nationhood, and our future was uncertain. The Iranian Revolution was actually happening right at that moment, leading to a global oil crisis and spiraling inflation. But it was a watershed moment for us, and since then we've seen God bless not just our nation, but the churches in our nation as well. Mega churches started rising up for the first time. And then all of a sudden, we found strong, charismatic leaders being raised up. Mission organizations flocked to Singapore. The effects of the charismatic renewal was phenomenal, and it kept moving forward. The majority of churches in Singapore grew dramatically, and we punched way above our weight. 25 years later, in 2003, in a small room in the south of France, God visited a young lady called Anne Elmer, who was in a hospital by a series of visions, and she would see these visions, and the way the visions would come to her was a lion would come into a room, and she would get on the back of the lion, and the lion would transport her to different parts of the world to see how the Lord would interact with the churches, hence the title, Transported by the Lion of Judah. I think we got the book right. And it was a prophetic vision, amazing vision. If you read the book, you'll recognize that the Lord's hand was upon her. But on two occasions, she heard the Lion of the tribe of Judah roar. First was in Pakistan in a small home group where I guess the church was doing something that was really well-pleasing to the Lord. And he roared with approval. But the second place that she said, I heard the lion roar, was in the Lion City of Singapore. Come on. I won't tell you the background, but when the lion roared, but she said the roar was so loud, so deafening, that everyone in the vision fell to the ground. It was a roar against a war against a principality in this nation. Anne said it was so deafening that the result of the roar was many people would turn to the Lord. And this has come to pass. We've seen that happen. If you look at the trajectory of the nation of Singapore from 2003, you will see a trajectory of people turning to the Lord. It shifted something. So God can move through a big crusade like Billy Graham, but God can also move through a prophetic word that is decreed from heaven, and it releases something in the spirit. Amen. I tell you this, it's not coincidental that our country is called the Lion City. Although Sang Nila saw a tiger, we are a Lion City. Amen. And the Lord will roar from Singapore. Amen. So what is God saying to us as a nation? What is God saying to Singapore as we approach our 61st year of independence? If he would send a letter like he did to the seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, what would he write to the church in Singapore? And this is what I want to address to you today. All I will say at this onset is I am optimistic about Singapore's future. Amen. Don't you listen to all those naysayers. Don't you listen to all those critical people. Don't you listen to all those people that are trying to pull Singapore down all the time. I'm sick and tired of that. I'm telling you this. God loves this nation. Amen. And he has a purpose and a destiny for this nation. And he was not going to change his mind about his destiny for our country. And so as Christians, we cannot be critical. We must not be critical about our country. We must speak blessings over our nation. We must speak blessings of our leaders. You might not agree with everything, but listen, we are Christians, we are God's people, and we're called to be a blessing, not to be a curse. Come on. Amen. In the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, the prophet was told to go to the potter's house, and there the Lord said he would speak to the prophet. As he arrived, he saw the potter working on a wheel, working on a vessel that was marred. I want you to see the thing that the Lord spoke to the prophet and the dialogue. Jeremiah 18, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck out, pull down, to destroy, if that nation against whom I've spoken turns from its evil, I will relent. In other words, I will change my mind about this. Hallelujah. And, I'd say this to you, that God reserves the right to change his mind. Amen. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build, to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, I will relent, or I will change my mind concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. The question that we want to ask today is, can a nation miss out on the call of God? I want you to put that in your think box for a few moments and chew over it, all right? Because we're going to come back to that. Now, the first thing that you need to notice about this passage is God is not speaking to a person. He's not speaking to a group of people. He's speaking to a nation, amen? When God speaks to a nation, embedded in that word is his counsel, is his purposes and destiny for that nation. If the nation accepts what God says, then the Lord is bound by his word to fulfill his promise to the nation. Amen. God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. So our being blessed as a nation is directly connected with being aligned with the purposes of God for our nation. That is the baseline. That is the baseline. We must be in tandem with what God is doing in our nation. But you know, if the nation rejects the word of God, then of course he reserves the right to forfeit us from the blessings that he intended to bless us with. Now, there are many nations in Israel, in Asia, that I know would love to be in our shoe. I mean, come on, look around, man. All you need is two eyes, right? And just see that we are living in a blessed nation. I mean, God has blessed Singapore beyond our wildest imaginations, right? Living in this country. You know, I was watching yesterday on social media. A lady was running. She was describing what she was wearing. You know, I won't go into that. But she was at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she says, she's an expatriate. She says, I love this country. I can jog at 2 o'clock in the morning and not have to bother to look behind my shoulder and see if anyone's chasing me. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the blessings that we have in Singapore. Amen. I travel all around the world. I can tell you this every time I come back to Singapore. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm home truly. Amen. There are many nations in Asia that would love to be in our shoe. I can tell you this for a fact. So when the Lord asked the prophet, can a nation be born in one day? Or can a nation be saved in a day? He wasn't asking for the question because he didn't know the answer. He's asked the question because he's looking for the man or for the company of people who would say, Lord, we believe it can be done. We believe it can be done. And we must be in that hour, that company of people that would dare believe that Singapore shall be saved. Amen. Amen. In the 7th chapter of the book of Amos, I'm just going to just belabor this point a little bit. The prophet sees a series of judgments coming to Jerusalem. This is Amos, all right? And he proclaims it to the people. He tells the people, oh my goodness, God's going to judge you guys. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And then he goes to his closet and he prays against the vision that he saw. He prays against this, Lord, I know that you're going to judge these people, but I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, please don't do it. Please spare the people. You know what the Bible says? God changed his mind. God, because a prophet stood in the gap. Hallelujah. And you know what makes that prophet look like? It looks, you know, it makes him look silly, right? He's decreed the word. Now he's fighting against the word. The word doesn't come to pass. It doesn't matter to the prophet because all he wants is to see his people saved. Hallelujah. And the danger averted. That must be our attitude. We must see Singapore saved. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you this. We must not have a bad attitude. When James and John wanted to call fire down a Samaritan village, Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. You don't know what, I'm not telling you this, you're all going to stand before Jesus one day. And he's going to look into you and he's going to ask you, do you have my spirit? What's the spirit do you have? That's not my spirit that you have. That critical, judgmental spirit. That's not my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. So when you see a gap, ladies and gentlemen, don't criticize it. Stand in the gap. Amen. Stand in the gap. Every time there's a problem, there's a disaster, don't make a joke. You know, Singaporeans, we love to joke about everything, right? We joke about every time there's a disaster. One time I remember there was the road opened up. What? Sinkhole, that's right. There was a sinkhole just about 200 meters from where we are in our church. There was a sinkhole, and everybody was making fun of it. You know, when you do free car wash, hallelujah, and all these things, right? And I'm thinking to myself, listen, come on, hallelujah. The Lord says, don't be like them, amen. This is not who he is, hallelujah. Now, every day during National Day, my family and I, and we'll be doing this at 6:15 today, we'll be sitting in front of the TV to watch National Day Parade. Hallelujah. As always, we sing the songs proudly. We laugh at the outrageous costumes. We tear when the national anthem is sung. We stand up. We all say the pledge together. And for one thing for sure, we're all proud to be Singaporeans. Amen. I'm a patriot. I love my country. Regardless of race, language, or religion. Amen. I was 6 years old when Singapore became an independent country. I had very little recollection of the trauma that many families faced. I remember the racial riots, though. We were living in a community, you know, where, and my family, my uncles brought their knives and their parangs and all that. It was a scary thing. They huddled all the kids into one room. And we remember the sirens going on and things like that. It was quite scary, right? But when Singapore separated from Malaysia, it was a traumatic time. It was not just about boundaries and borders. It was families. They had to choose, and many of the Malay families had to choose, do we go back to Malaysia to be with our family, or do we stay here in Singapore to help build this fledgling nation? There was absolutely no guarantee of success, but God was with us, and He blessed us and prospered us. 40 years after Billy Graham gave the word, there was another prophet by the name of Chris Berkland, who was a dear friend of Cornerstone, and he has a dream that God is coming 40 years later for a slick cyclical review of the word. In other words, God is coming to our nation to observe, to see what we have done with the word that He has given to us. I want you to know that God loves this nation, and this is one of those nations that I believe, not just one, there are others that God's going to use, but this is just one nation that God is going to use very significantly in the last days. And as a church, I'm asking all of us, it's really important for us to be aligned to the vision that God has given to us. Yes, sir, we have come a long way, but the question remains, are we closer to fulfilling our destiny? Now, I just want to just have one more scripture, and I'm going to go into this 5 points very quickly. Luke chapter 21, Jesus talked about the parable of the fig tree and all the other trees, right? He says, when the summer is near, you see them budding, you know that the kingdom of God is near. The fig tree here represents Israel. 1948, Israel became a nation. All the other trees are the trees that blossom, that became independent after 1948. That's what the scripture is saying, right? And I'll name a few of these significant nations. Singapore, Taiwan, South Korea, Malaysia, Hong Kong, just to name a few. And I feel like these nations, as they come together in these last days, as the leaders and the pastors in the LIFT conference, we're going to have all these leaders coming together. We're going to take a time as Asian leaders to pray for Asia. Hallelujah. I am telling you, this is an Asian hour. Amen. And all these countries that I mentioned have a prophetic destiny. We're called to have amazing destinies and calls, and we're about to graduate into an apostolic sending base. Amen. You know what God called Israel? He says, you are my firstborn son. Now, if Israel is a firstborn son, how many of you know God has other sons? Amen. And these other sons are the nations. Hallelujah. Singapore, I can tell you, we're probably second born. Amen. We are there in the list, high in the list. Amen. God has a plan for this nation. I can tell you this. And so I've listed five things that we must do as a sort of a blueprint of God's continued blessing upon the nations. The first one might cause some of you to cringe. Number one, listen to me. We must take a stand for Israel. You like Israel, you don't like Israel, it doesn't matter. As far as God is concerned, Israel is the firstborn of the nations, and it's on the top of the list. Hallelujah. Amen. They're unique and they're special. The Messiah came from Israel. Amen. The 12 disciples were all Jewish. Amen. When He made the covenant, He made the covenant with 12 Jewish men. The Bible was written 66 chapters by all Jewish men. Oh, Rababa Sandai, amen, hallelujah. So we must be careful that we do not capitulate. You know, the word capitulate is used in political circles to describe the pressure sometimes upon someone or a group of people to conform to the norm. And I know there's a lot of pressure right now to conform to the, or to cut off ties with Israel. Everywhere I go, you know, it's people are getting very fearful of the fact that they are aligned with Israel. But I want to just say that we stand with Israel, and I'm glad that our Singapore government has taken a stand for Israel. Amen. They're quiet about this, and I think that that's wise. But amen, let's continue to pray for Israel. Amen. This is the baseline covenant in the Bible. I'm telling you this. It's the Lord says, whoever blesses the descendants of Abraham, I will bless. Amen. You want to see blessings in your life, you start praying for Israel. I am telling you this. You start praying for Israel. Amen. And it's really important that in the parable in Matthew 25, listen, I'm telling you this. The way that God is going to appraise you on Judgment Day, one of the ways is how you have treated the Jewish person. How you have treated the Jew is how God says, I'm going to treat you on Judgment Day. So there's a real sense of the fear of the Lord here. As we bless Israel, we are blessed, and vice versa. This is one of the plumb lines that I believe God is establishing in His church today. The second thing is we must model generosity. You know, 61 years ago, Singapore was a sleepy trading outpost of the British Empire. In fact, 100 years ago, all Singapore was a malarial-infested mangrove swamp. 736 square kilometers in size. We have no oil, we have no farmland, no hinterland. When our military trains, we've got to go overseas. But today, Singapore is the first world nation. Our GDP 2025 was over 600 billion. My goodness. We are one of the richest nations per capita in GDP. I think that number three. Our math, science, English scores are the best in the world. We're called the ultra-rich city-state. But why has God blessed us so abundantly? Why has God blessed us so richly in such a short span of time? I believe it's because we're called to be a financial hub for the gospel. Amen. We're a financing center for the propagation of the gospel. I want you to see it. I want you to get this into your spirits, my friends. You know, I travel a lot. People always ask me, Pastor Young, what is Singapore's superpower? What is the strength of Singapore? You know, and I've been thinking a lot about this because if you look at Singapore, we've not produced many top-level sportsmen, right? I mean, how many sports, famous sports people we know, right? Who have gone into like the world arena, right? Maybe one or two swimmers, you know, that have won Olympic medals. But that's it. That's it. You know, that's as far as we've gone. How many football, listen, our football team. All right, no, okay. Our rugby team, did you know we hold the score of the worst ever score in the history of rugby? Singapore. Something 150 to zero. That zero is us, all right? And so we are not strong in all these things. Right? We have not produced a strong world-class orchestra or drama presenter. You know, we have one bright light here, one bright light there, but that's about it. But you know what is our superpower? You know what is our superpower? Singapore knows how to make money. I'm telling you, we are one of the best. We have billionaires that are anointed and they are amazing. And this is the strength of our country. We know, the people in this country know how to make money. And there is a reason for that. I mean, it didn't come easy. God gave us this ability to acquire wealth. Hallelujah. And there's a purpose for it because he wants to have these financial hubs in the last days to finance the propagation of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's not be naive, all right? Let's not be naive. World evangelism is not impossible. Coca-Cola has done it. Starbucks has done it. McDonald's has done it. Mickey Mouse is trying to do it, all right? The bottom line here, it will take money. Each time you see an advert, each time you see a banner, it's a company trying to evangelize. That's it, all right? So God has blessed Singapore with tremendous wealth, and we must remember why we have been blessed. Number three, very quickly, we're called to send laborers. God did not give us the most powerful passport in the world so that we can go for exotic holidays and luxuriate in the sun. Come on. He gave us the most powerful passport in the world so that we can go and preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. What is born in Singapore is supposed to be exported. Hallelujah. Singapore is all about export. Amen. You trace the golden years of the United Kingdom. My wife and I, we have, you know, cornerstone. We have a vested interest to the Bible College of Wales in the United Kingdom. Britain was, nowadays you go to London, you gotta hide your watch, you gotta keep everything, and you know, you're always looking behind your back. You can't hold your phone like that talking on the, somebody will come and grab it away. I mean, it's become so bad, and you know, we grieve over the nation, but I'm telling you, there was a time in the United Kingdom, Britain was famous for the missionaries they sent. They gave us the Hudson Taylors and the William Careys and the David Livingstons and the George Mullers and the Amy Carmichael, the Wesley brothers. I mean, they gave us Reese Howells. Come on, amen. And you get the point, all right? When that stopped happening, all of a sudden the blessings slowed down to a trickle. Same thing in America. There was a time America sent out the missionaries. I mean, it's amazing. And you know, we want to make sure that Singapore is always not sending our finances, but our people as well. Yesterday, amen. Now, yesterday I just got back from Penang. I spoke in a conference there, and you know, I was in the aeroplane, and sitting beside me is a gentleman. And, you know, he was standing right in the aisle, and he was, like, trying to get his stuff, you know, his iPads and AirPods and things like that. And he was trying to, you know, and there was the queue was so long, and he was totally oblivious of what was happening. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, I won't say the word. Oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, I'm so unaware of what's happening. And you just move aside. Let people move, you know, and you can search. And I had all these thoughts about this guy. And then finally the stewardess comes, oh, can you please move in, please? All right. And, you know, and I'm thinking all these thoughts about, oh, my goodness, what a, okay. And then he turns to me. He says, hi, Pastor, how are you? Total stranger. So I said to him, I said, oh, my goodness. I said, you're a Christian. He said, yeah. He said, I'm a Baptist. I attend a Reform church. And I'm a missionary. Well, is it good for you? Amen. Just be baptized in the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Oh, my goodness. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I was just glad that he's a missionary. Number four, very quickly, let's continue to uphold righteousness in this nation. Amen. Proverbs 14, it says, righteousness exalts a nation. If our nation continues to uphold just righteous laws in the land, I believe with all my heart, we will continue to see his favor. But if we start going crazy with all these gender issues, you know, LGBT agenda, and the family unit starts disintegrating, everything we built in the last 60 years can crumble very quickly. Amen? Rome wasn't built in the day, but it also wasn't destroyed in the day. There was an internal decay in the Roman Empire, right? I want to just close with this. I got one more point, but let me just close with this. You know, when a child is born, as parents, you know, the first thing we desire is to see the child grow healthily, right? We want to see the child develop physically. So at every juncture of the child's life, he or she is taken to the pediatrician and the baby is weighed, the progress is tracked. But there comes a time in the life of the baby where the parents are no longer looking for physical growth any longer. They begin to look for other signs of growth, all right? Things like intelligence, personality, emotions. Then at a certain age of their lives, we look for responsibility, integrity, discipline, character. And at these stages, we are imparting the right stimulus to try to see how the child responds. Now, Singapore is like that child that has grown, right? God has blessed us, this nation, with growth, and Singapore is well-engineered, very well socially planned, no doubts about that. But we must be careful to guard against perpetual adolescence, right, where people think that life is just a playground. That's the biggest danger that we have, is to become like a Laodicean church, right? And as Christians, we must not be drawn in or be fascinated who's got the biggest building, who's got the biggest church. We've got to be careful with that because that is all so shallow, amen? There is more to that than just looking at numbers. God doesn't want to take the church in Singapore and throw it on a weighing scale and see how heavy we are. He wants to know if we will take responsibility. He wants to know if we will behave in a responsible way. Come on, amen. We have to start growing up as a church, amen, because the church in Singapore is very, very important to the Lord. And finally, number five, I close with this. We must take care of the poor and the needy, amen. The hallmark of God's people is their care for the poor and for the needy. And if we will do what is right, if we will share, if we will be generous, and we will have a generous eye, God will bless. Amen. Whenever we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord, the Bible says. Amen. So I want to pray that God's plan for this nation will not be thwarted. I believe with all my heart that he has gracious intentions for this nation and that he wants to bless Singapore and continue his favor over this nation. Many years ago, there was a lady from Hong Kong who wrote a song about Singapore. And I want to play that song for you because it will pull on your heart. And this song is about Singapore. Where is your heart? Do you love me with all your heart? And it's a beautiful song written by a lady called Johanna, a friend of ours, and she recorded that song here in Singapore. I want you to sit back, close your eyes for a few moments, and just listen to the song, right? Let the song minister to you, and then I'll come back, and we're going to close in prayer, all right? So let's roll that song.
We will.
Let's all stand in the presence of God with one heart. Hallelujah. Something that about that song always chokes me up. It's such an anointed song. Hallelujah. I want you just to raise your hands and let's pledge our love and allegiance again to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit and say, Father, bless this nation, Lord. Bless Singapore, Lord. Bless Singapore, Lord. Let's be just one heart about this. Let's be one heart. Let's unite our hearts to fear the Lord. Hallelujah. And say, God, be enthroned over Singapore, Lord. Father, I love this nation, Lord. I love Singapore, Lord. And I thank you. They're my people, Lord. These people are my people, Lord. And my children and my grandchildren will grow up in a nation, Lord. And what kind of a nation are we leaving for them, Lord? We want to leave behind a nation that is full of life, full of safety, full of your presence, full of your glory, Lord. People will talk about this nation, oh God, for our children and our children's sake, oh God. Bless Singapore, oh God. I pray, Lord, for the continued prosperity and peace in this nation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your protection over this nation, oh God. And I pray, Lord, bless Singapore, Lord. Bless Singapore. We bless Singapore, Lord, and we ask you to continue your favor over this nation. We are one heart, Lord, with you. We are one heart with you, Jesus. We are one heart with you, Lord. And we love you with all our hearts and our minds and our strength and our souls, oh God. We love you. Amen. Would you remain standing, ladies and gentlemen? You know, this National Day service is never complete without a National Day song. Hallelujah. So we're going to do just one short National Day song and sing it with pride because we are all home truly. Amen.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.